World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it. See?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I never said it, okay? I never said what some of you are accusing me of saying, and it's okay. I'm a big boy. I can take it. Welcome to Pass the Salt this morning. I don't know about you. I couldn't wait for that live light to come on my computer so we could get up rip-roaring with you. We got about 17, what does it say? 17 people in the huddle. Got room for about, I don't know, 8 or 9, 10 more of you. Jump in here with us. We lit a fire yesterday, and a fire I'm not afraid of, and a fire I'm going to talk a little bit about today. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. A lot of things I want to get to. Yeah, we're going to talk about Bitcoin. Steve Mencking's with us again here today. It was a great show yesterday, had my head spinning, lots going on. See, the hardest thing for us to do, I'll say this again, you cannot teach what you don't know. I cannot teach Bitcoin because I don't understand it yet. I don't understand it. I'm sort of getting it, but I can't teach it to somebody else. And here's what's happening. Those of us who are trying to figure out this whole economic thing and Bitcoin and what's going on here, because we don't understand, really, as Mark Trump tried to explain to us yesterday, and as Steve tried to explain to us, the technology behind Bitcoin and mining and all that stuff, my head just spins. But now listen, I'm hungry to know more about it, but I get lost in the weeds. I get lost in the weeds. You're only capable of teaching what you know. And so that's why, as somebody else coined a phrase, Rush, I guess it was, I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth. So join me here today. I'm glad to have you on. Hey, got to make a real point. Listen, guys, Christmas gifts. Now, listen, you can help us out by making a donation. It will help us out, okay? It costs us money to do what we do here. You can get your husband or your dad a hat. You can get them a hat. You could get them a hat. You could get them a Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt just for a donation. Just make a donation and get a Christmas gift. You could get a Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt. You can get a Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt. We'll get them all out to you so that you have them for Christmas gifts. And instead of running down, I've got to say hi. My kiss to my wife wasn't quite as passionate today because she spilled coffee this morning. It was okay. And she said, oh, that's Starbucks. And I said, what? She said, yeah, it was on sale. I said, don't ever buy Starbucks. So don't buy Starbucks coffee. Buy them a hat. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com and make a donation. Look, we got about, by the time we ship and everything, our expenses are, I don't know, $13 probably in the hat, and the shipping, and all that stuff. So give us 20 bucks and tell us you'd like a hat, you'd like a shirt, you'd like a Truth Sounds Like Hatred. That stuff's on all on our website. Throw that up there real quickly for us, Jared, if you could. And give your uncle, give your dad, give your son, give somebody a Coach Dave hat, a cross hat, whatever, okay? Not gonna go on and on about that. But there it is. Jared's got that up on the screen. Just go there and just make a donation and tell us what you'd like. Just say, send me this size shirt or this color hat or this. Just send it to me, all right? Now, we have the red hats on there. That's probably, we need to upgrade that, I guess, Jared. We don't have that. I don't have that on there. So, okay, I don't want to get bogged down on that one. But the thing that really got us going yesterday was the, is it ever okay for a Christian to lie? Jared, go to Exodus 1. Is that right, Larry? That's Exodus 1. Go there real quick. I cannot believe, I'm going to say this as boldly as I can. The letter of the law kills. the letter of the law kills. Say it again real slow so you get it. The law without the Holy Spirit brings death. Bastier, I think it was, says that the law is an ass. In other words, legalism, religion, brings death. The Spirit brings life. When Jesus said he would write the tablet, no longer write it on the stone, but he would write it on the fleshly tablets of your heart, he was saying this: the laws apply, but you have the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. And sometimes we have to choose between a good and a greater good. And so I never said lying was ever okay if it is done simply for selfish personal reasons. It is never okay. It's never okay. I never said that. So see, those of you out there, you religious devils out there who want to drag me into that, that's not what I said. Okay? I'm going to show you a couple things here, and then I'm going to shut up and I'm going to move on. I love the debate on Facebook. Boy, oh boy, the religious folks are being exposed. Just go on down here. Go down to 18, Jared. Jared, 18. Larry, I'm going to let you talk about this because you're the one who brought this to my attention yesterday. And I want you to show them what it says, Larry, so somebody out there can amen me. You got it, Larry? I'm not hearing you.
Okay, I just unmuted.
Okay, buddy, there you go.
When Moses was a little baby, there was the Pharaoh had decreed that all Hebrew males should be put to death when they were born, and he instructed the Hebrew midwives to do that. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing? Now, what they had done is they had not killed all the male children. They came back and they lied about it. And the Pharaoh, exposed their lie and found
verse
out.
Verse 18. Larry's in verse 18. Says, why haven't you guys done what I told you to do? Go ahead, Larry.
And then the wife said, because the Hebrew women are not as Egyptian women, and they lied about childbirth. They said, these Hebrew women have children so fast, we're not even there, and we don't even, we don't get there in time. And
in other words, we didn't kill them. We said, they made a white lie, said we didn't get there. We couldn't do it all. We couldn't get there in time. We couldn't prevent it.
And then verse 20 is the revelation here. It says, therefore, God dealt well with the midwives.
That's what it says.
He dealt well with the midwives because they lied to Pharaoh.
And what happened? The greater good was the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Right? I mean, I don't know how you read that any other way. Now I'm gonna throw that
ties in exactly with your comment that you would lie to save your grandchildren.
I would. If you wouldn't lie to save your grandchildren, brothers, you got religion. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody say amen. If you would not lie to save your innocent grandchild, see, amen. the religious folks, they said this.
Amen.
Thanks, man. The religious folks said, well, I would just trust the Lord to protect them. What? You got some Muslim standing up there with a knife and you're going to trust the Lord? What, the Lord's going to trip him coming down the steps? What? Are you kidding me?
They're already lying, coach.
They're already lying. And then I couldn't get away from this one. And this ain't going to sound good, but I'm just going to quote what the word said. And I don't know where it is. I want to move on. I don't want to get bogged down on it.
Roman
pilot says, what's that?
4:3 or 3:4. Let God's word be true and every man be a liar.
A liar. Wow. Listen, Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Pilate says to Jesus, are you a king? That's a pretty direct question, isn't it? What did Jesus respond? I cannot tell a lie. Yes, I am. Did he say that? Does anybody know what did he say? He said, those are your words, not mine. Now, That's not a lie. But did Jesus come totally clean with Pilate? Ooh, that's going to make people nervous.
Sort of.
That's going to make people nervous.
My kingdom is not of this world.
Mm. Yeah, he told a part of it. Hey, Joe, did he tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Well, he kind of. He didn't lie.
Yeah.
He didn't lie. Oh, man. All right. Now my email will blow up and everything. Listen, guys, the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us a brain for us to be able to think, okay? He gave it to us. And our entire military is based on deception. Our entire military is. We don't give secrets to the enemy. And see, we have not understood yet that we're in a war and we have an enemy. I'm going to make this clear, and then we'll shut up about it. You can't lie just to advance your own agenda, or just to get wealthy, or just something that advantages you. You cannot do that. The only time that you would ever be able to speak a falsehood is if it advances a greater good. If I were to speak an untruth to save someone's life, remember, the law brings death. Yes, she's downstairs, but the Spirit brings life. The spirit of the law is, don't rat her out. Her life is much more important than you being holy. That's the way I read it. Okay, cool. Say, Coach, that's good stuff. I think it is good. And I'm going to tell you what. You can accuse me all you want of. It's all good. I had something else I wanted to talk about.
My wife loved your article yesterday, brother. She loved it.
You know, Dale, it makes people think, brother. That's all I want to do, right? I didn't tell people. I just simply asked the daggone question. I just asked the question, is it ever okay? Is it ever okay to lie?
And she was just impressed in the way you wrote it, brother. She was like, wow. I said, Coach is a smart man.
On my Facebook wall, somebody accused the coach of commanding people to lie.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? It's just unbelievable. And it's just a very simple.
Larry, you should have told him, thou shalt not judge.
It's the letter of the law. The letter of the law brings death. The law without the Spirit is death. The law with the Spirit is always focused on bringing life. It's just, thank you, Lord. So listen, guys, there's something really crazy going on here. This is going to be Steve Menking's coming up, guys. Give me 10 minutes here, and we'll get Steve Menking up here. But stuff. Just, I had a couple stuff that popped up on me yesterday that I just cannot ignore. And I don't know if you know this or not. I'm sure you do. Maybe you don't know. Paul Ryan is quitting Congress, right? Paul Ryan. We all scream and cheer. Yay. Draining the swamp. Well, why?
Hey, actually, Coach, there's been follow up on that. And that was fake news that was put out and presented like it was real news. Paul Ryan himself reiterated that he has not made such a statement.
Where'd you see that, Larry?
It was a source.
I believe, but listen, which one? I'm make sure I'm showing you the right one. Okay. Let's go, Jared. Let's go to the one that says darkness. No, I don't know what that says. To you. Darkness revealed, maybe is what it says. I have a. It just says stuff. Is that it? No. It says darkness revealed, I think. But Jared, say, Coach, get your act together here, will you? I'm trying to, man. I'm trying to figure out where I sent it to you. Stuff. Me. Deep state. No. Go down to the one that says darkness revealed. That's where it is. Darkness revealed. Okay? Hey, guys, listen. There's something really, really, really deep going on. And what I'm going to share with you here is, I don't want to sound like I'm important. A guy's pretty connected. And the intelligence services, he's pretty connected, okay? And here's the email he sent yesterday to me. And I'm going to go down just for the sake of time. Well, let me run down through this. It's Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I've made you a watch for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth. and give them warning for me. We talk about that a lot. Our job is to give warning, okay? So scroll on up a little bit, or down, Jared, because I want to go through this really quickly. This is his personal remarks. He says, what you're about to read below, I have been sitting on for a couple days, attempting to sort through what it may mean to the remnant church. Then this evening, I received notification, which by the time you read this, notification will be all over the internet and quite possibly eventual platforms too. I just received notice House Speaker Paul Ryan has selectively communicated his thinking of resigning due to revelations contained in the now thoroughly debunked Russian dossier. Same one, yada, yada. Speaker Ryan furthermore has implicated. Listen, folks, this guy's close, okay? Speaker Ryan furthermore is implicated in a House Representative IT scandal. Remember the Iwan brothers and all that? Which has little public attention as yet, but will yield all members of the House of Representatives, but will reveal have had their emails hacked. Personal information obtained from some members will face embarrassing challenges and the loss of $16 million. They've lost it. The hackers were Middle Eastern Muslims hired by Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Speaker Ryan knew all about the hacking, but chose to remain silent. Speaker Ryan has communicated to President Trump the likelihood of his not seeking re-election. However, Trump wants him to stay there and help him to drain the swamp. Okay, keep going on down. Trump told the speaker he would be further displeased if he chose not. Mentioned below is a scenario given to me that if nothing else will capture your attention, brings me to why I'm releasing this information. I've previously written, this is for us, that we're living in a time of separation. Think about this, guys. There's a time of separation, a time of the Lord actively building his remnant church. Much like a tornado impressively swirling with great might, the Lord has released a tornado across America, separating and destroying strongholds, thereby revealing what has been hidden and even reinforced and fortified from the site. There will be a clearing taking place, and it's already begun. There will be an increase of light shining through those who draw near to and submit, cooperate with the Lord. There will be an increase of darkness, though, through those who embrace the things of man of the world rather than the Lord. And those who choose to embrace the ways of darkness will be stunned about how darkness will be unable to conceal their acts. Look all about and you will see this separation taking place. You will see increase in perversion and lust, adultery, murder and harm, stealing, grabbing of power for selfish goals and desire. There will also be an increase of light and goodness emanating from those who are called by the Lord and are separating themselves from the ways of man. Isn't that what the fireman said to us the other day, that the systems are being judged? Systems of dark power will be revealed and have begun. Those who cling to evil and deception to gain and possess power will face destruction. God, Adonai, God alone, they barely remember nor serve or even fear him. Separate from the things and the systems of this world, which is passing away, and come to Yahweh. So this is going to tie in with Bitcoin. Stay with me, okay? Okay, guys, here we go. Here we go. Take this with a grain of salt. But I have great confidence in the source. Is U.S. Attorney Jeff Sessions about to confront the FBI? Since the mainstream media now functions as a full-time press office of the Democratic Party. By the way, this isn't from the source. This is he's sending this from someone else, okay? It might surprise most people to learn that the Department of Justice has been conducting a full-scale investigation of the FBI for 11 months. When you think about all the leaks that have come out of this year from White House, with the special counsel Robert Mueller's sham Russia investigation, it's amazing to consider the tight ship the Attorney Jeff Sessions must be running because nobody saw this investigation coming. Now that the very existence of the investigation is known, the usual suspects are circling the wagons and preemptively tweeting to try to share public perception, but it looks like it's too late for him. There's a very real possibility that Jeff Sessions is about to drop a hammer on the FBI. This could shake Washington to its core, but that is exactly what needs to happen. In fact, it's about time. Here's everything we know about AG Sessions' swamp-draining investigation so far. Stay with me. The Office of the Inspector General at the Department of Justice has been leading the review of the FBI at Sessions' request. And Inspector General Michael Horowitz says the OIG is very close to announcing its findings. That's what has people like Loretta Lynch and James Comey suddenly tweeting about the FBI, how it's a pillar of virtue while they're running the place for Obama and Hillary. The OIG was instructed to investigate James Comey on July 5th, 2016, on his public announcement that Crooked Hillary would not be indicted for illegal server and potentially leaking top secrets. The OIG is also looking into whether improper considerations went into not only Comey's announcement, but also into the letters that Comey sent to Washington in October, November 2016. We already know, of course, that the outcome of the investigation was decided months before Comey announced that he was letting Hillary go scot-free. the OIG is examining whether Comey should have recused himself from the Clinton administration. And as we've reported previously, and it's confirmed by Breitbart News, James Comey is a multimillionaire because of his private sector work previous to being appointed by FBI director by Obama. Comey worked for Lockheed Martin and negotiated weapons contracts worth billions of dollars with the Clinton-run State Department. Lockheed Martin was donating cash to the Clinton Foundation while Comey was negotiating those contracts. Comey should never have been allowed within 1,000 feet of the Clinton investigation, but he did not recuse himself and ultimately let Hillary go without filing charges. Here's the bombshell item. The OIG is investigating whether the former Assistant General for Legislative Affairs, an Obama opponent named Peter Kadzik, leaked non-public information of the Clinton campaign to the Clinton campaign during the investigation. Holy cow, that's the kind of allegation that should have a U.S. attorney salivating. That's handcuff time, folks. Kadzik is not accused of leaking information to the press or to Hillary, but to her campaign. With an actual free press that was interested in reporting the facts to the American people, that would be the lead item on every newscast every single night for the next week. But have you heard this information? Nope, neither have we. So it's time to drain the swamp, and not a moment too soon. This is exactly the type of swamp draining action the American people have been waiting for. The Obama administration did tremendous damage to the FBI. It's taken years to restore public confidence in the Bureau, but it needs to happen. Just look at this information that's coming out about Special Agent Stroke, this guy who's sending anti-Trump texts, his mistresses. The allegations in Stroke are so bad that Robert Mueller had to kick him out of the investigation. Stroke was the guy who oversaw the interview, yada, 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 extracurricular activities going down, Jared. I'm heading to the point. Mueller's investigation was supposed to look into Russian election interference 2016. Mueller, Stroke, and company indicated Lieutenant General Mike Flynn over his misstatements in the FBI. And when was the election again? February. So Mike Flynn gets indicted because he's naive enough to be interviewed by the FBI without an attorney present and gets indicted. But Stroke lets Hillary Clinton, Hume Abedin, and the entire cabal off the hook for possibly leaking classified information to North Korea, yada. And way to go, FBI. You're not looking politicized at all. Hang on. Right after the Justice Department announced the existence of the OIG investigation, President Trump tweeted that the FBI is in tatters. This prompted James Comey, former General Eric Holder, and five-second acting Attorney General Sally Yates, all began furiously tweeting about how strong and independent the FBI is looking, like the swamp is getting nervous. Prediction. When the OIG findings are released, as they will be shortly, this news will be so big that the media will be forced to cover. Okay? Now, I want to make another connection. Jared, pull up. This is going to connect to Bitcoin, okay? I'm sorry. I just think it's important we know this. Jared, go to the one that says stuff. It's just deep state. And it's a report from Ben Fulford. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him or not. But he lays out basically the same thing in this report that Jared's going to put before us. I'm trying to hurry because I want to get Steve Mencking back in here to talk about Bitcoin. And rather than going through this whole report, I want to show you something. Jared, scroll down near the bottom of it. This is really good. And I'll send you all this leak because he's saying the same thing of exactly what's going on. Oh, there's so much stuff going on here. This is a great report. You guys got to read this. But go on down. Keep on going. I'm looking for something, Jared. Okay, here you go. Ready? Because all this stuff's going on, all right? Next, the last paragraph. Also, speaking about the financial system. By the way, he talks about the Khazarian mafia. Remember that too, the Khazars were? The Khazar Jews. Remember a year ago or so, we were talking about the Khazar Jews? That's what he's talking about in this whole thing. She says, also speaking about the financial system, the Khazars who own the central banks have seen their printing of money create ultimately doomed bubbles in the stock and bond markets. That is why a lot of this hot money is now fleeing into cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, which is why its value is skyrocketing. This may be a bubble, but bubbles can go up many times before they pop. And even if when the bubble pops, in the long run, blockchains definitely do represent a technical improvement. It is likely to replace much of the current financial architecture. It's also interesting to note that countries that have physical gold, Russia, China, India, Indonesia, are against Bitcoin. Those who do not, such as Japan and US, are rushing into it. While you cannot eat Bitcoin, You cannot eat gold either. At the end of the day, the White Dragon Society expects these two factions will be forced to recognize that the ultimate currency is life itself. Right now, the Earth is under attack and humanity needs to unite in order to save the planet. Here's the point I'm making, and I'm going to turn it over to Steve. Here's the point I'm making. The financial elite know their goose is cooked, and certainly they are going to fight for control of Bitcoin. But those in the know understand what's going on, and they are putting their money in cryptocurrencies, and they are months, years ahead of the average person. So whether Bitcoin ends up becoming or cryptocurrencies ends up becoming a safe haven, nobody knows, but you can be guaranteed of this. The flow of money into cryptocurrencies is just beginning. It's just beginning, folks. Just beginning. And so we have to, as we look at this whole thing going on, we have to be wise as a serpent and harmless of a dove, as a dove, and say, okay, Lord. See, I'm not worried about, I don't want to be a billionaire. I don't want to be a billionaire. Okay. It isn't even about that. It's about wisdom, though. It's about wisdom. And if the elite understand what's going on and they're moving their money out of dollars or whatever other currency would be, and they're moving it into cryptocurrencies, they are ahead of the game. Boy, things going to get ugly. Okay, Steve, I served you a soft one. I did it fast, guys. Sorry, I did it fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of different material to think about here, Coach. The big picture level is that you're right about the capital flows. Since we met last morning, there's another $20 billion that has come into the cryptocurrency ecosystem overall.
Where's that coming from, Stephen? Where's that coming from?
Everywhere. But I'd like to make a couple different points of clarification. A lot of people look at the decisions, let's say, that China has made in particular, and say, oh, the Chinese are against Bitcoin. I don't necessarily think that you can argue that. What happened was the Chinese cracked down on Bitcoin exchange trading. And so if you look at the volume, it's like, oh, well, there's no volume now. But what they were doing was they were cleaning up that marketplace. The reason why gold and silver futures stay manipulated and the price stays low is because many, many, many multiples are of the actual supply of those metals are traded on a regular basis in the marketplace. And so that's how they can just write an infinite amount of contracts against the price to keep it suppressed.
Yeah, now, they're just making up the price, Steve. They're manipulating it and you're a lot better at this. The price of silver probably is in the hundreds of dollars. If it were to go to free market, it's probably in the hundreds of dollars, not 17 or whatever it is.
You could make a fair value case for $1,000 looking at the possibilities of industrial use. But the point is the Chinese crackdown on the Bitcoin exchanges that were just trading back and forth and not actually operating in Bitcoin. And so they were just moving paper back and forth. And that's the kind of fraud that we allow that essentially governs the Western financial system.
Steve, listen, this is critical. Folks, listen, there's a difference between holding physical gold and paper gold. In other words, it's like having a title to a car. You can have a title to the car, but if you don't have the car, the title isn't any good at all to you. And what Stephen is saying is that in the gold and silver markets, people have titles to gold that they do not possess. And that's why the market is so easily manipulated. And so there are a lot of people out there invested in gold and silver that are invested in paper only. Fair assessment, Steve?
Yeah, that's fair. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. And the idea here is particularly on these exchanges, and I'll get to this in a second. The blockchain technology has the chance to establish true price discovery for the precious metal. So there's a lot of back and forth with people about the difference between gold and cryptocurrencies or silver and cryptocurrencies, and people are butting heads and going in one direction or another. As for me, you know, the Bible says to divide a portion to seven and also to eight. And so just making sure that you have a balanced portfolio would be my advice. But my key point is that just because China cracks down on Bitcoin exchanges or cryptocurrency exchanges doesn't mean that it's against cryptocurrency or against Bitcoin. They're trying to make the marketplace clean and to have a real exchange, the same way that they established the Shanghai Gold Exchange to begin having an actual place where you could go to exchange contracts for real physical metal. And so there are many different levels of this analysis, but one sort of pithy statement that Julian Assange tweeted just this morning, he said that Bitcoin is the real Occupy Wall Street. One thing I would mention is that the people getting into cryptocurrencies are, you know, the most important people getting into cryptocurrencies are not the elite. They've been fighting it. And now people are trying to come along for the ride, either to co-opt it or to make a quick buck. But they despise this technology because it takes away the cash cow that they've persisted upon for 100 years or more, because it takes away their intermediary position where everyone has to go through them. It's the same the same way that the East is building an alternative financial wiring to the SWIFT payment system that's set up by New York and London and the Western financial system. That is the mechanism for enforcing sanctions. The reason sanctions have been effective in the past is because the United States could simply press a lever and shut off all your capital flows. But now there's an alternative system being built on the side. And the same general principle is happening in an even broader scale between the legacy financial system and the blockchain-backed financial system. And so here's another thing to consider that I didn't bring up yesterday. There are billions and billions and billions of people on this planet who don't even have a bank account. And it doesn't make sense to expand, like, the legacy banking infrastructure into all of these different places. It's too expensive, the connections don't work, and people couldn't afford to pay the banking fee. However, anyone can at any time fire up on their phone a crypto wallet and begin exchanging value in cryptocurrencies. And one of the key points that when I realized this made me understand that this was for real and this is the way that things are going to be going is that it's going to allow people who never had access to capital or access to the banking system before to access funds, to trade, to initiate value. And so it's not just people who are transitioning from the old system into this newer system that is cryptographically secure and decentralized. It's billions of people coming into this financial system for the first time, and they're not going into the legacy system. They're going into the new system. And
so Stephen, in South Africa or pick any country, they don't have dollars. First of all, a lot of people are poor, but they don't have American dollars. So we're in a bubble here in America where the dollar, and a lot of exchanges are being made in dollars. But what Stephen is saying to us is through this cryptocurrency, if I understand it right, there are people who are now going to be exposed to having money that never really had that ability to exchange money before. So it's going to be billions of dollars that are going to flow into this system.
Right. And I think maybe the way that I would put it is that it's going to allow people to exchange value over distance, whereas they couldn't before because they couldn't afford to participate in the banking system. Because you have to pay a fee, you know, unless banks give you deals to open up a checking account now because it's unsecured and it's not your money when you give it to them. But the idea is, you know, if you want to do business with the banking system, then you have to pay a fee. And people at the lowest income tiers can't do that. They can't afford it. But when the architecture of the blockchain financial infrastructure gets more and more developed and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, this is like the epitome of free market competition. It's going to drive down the costs essentially to zero because just who can make the best code. And what who can code Stephen, for something
I
that is...
I don't think there's any doubt, Stephen, that cryptocurrencies, whether they end up being the medium of exchange 20 years from now, nobody knows. But I don't think there's any doubt, as I've been watching this, that cryptocurrencies are going to the moon because money is going to rush in there. Whether they do it foolishly, whether they lose their money, there ain't no doubt money is going into cryptocurrency.
So, Stephen, a couple things. It's a question. Is it more along the effect of the unwise investor changing the value of a new item on the stock exchange or a cryptocurrency? Or is it strictly about the amount of trade that's the problem? Is it the billions of people get into it? Or is it the limited number of wise investors that is an accurate value, which causes the whole market to be upset because they can't predict the market any longer? So which is it more, the wisdom or the volume?
What behavioral economists would say, and I don't necessarily trust them, but they would say that the wisdom is the volume, that this mass action does communicate at some level some sort of generalized understanding that we can draw out on an overall basis. It's an excellent question, and if I had to describe the primary cryptocurrency drivers that are driving this rapid adoption in the space, it's, you know, people will make a reductionary argument that say it's just people who are looking to get rich quick. And, you know, that's some percentage of it, but those people are going to get flushed out because when they get in, when the price is going up, and then it takes a 30% hit, they're going to sell because that's not getting rich quick. And so it's just that's trading and investing on emotion.
Let me jump in here, Steve, as the host of the show. I know you got a good thing planned, but listen, I want to create a scenario, and then I know Roger has something he wants to say because I had a discussion with him yesterday. Let me create this scenario, folks. This is the way that I see this, okay? I'm not into getting rich quick. I mean, we would all love that, but that ain't what I'm about. When I'm talking about Bitcoin or like whatever those other, whatever they are, the cryptocurrencies, here's my thought. This thing's going to go to the moon. Okay, this is going to go to the moon. And I'm thinking from a standpoint, you know what? I think I'm going to go out and I'm going to put $5,000. I'm going to buy me some cryptocurrency. I'm going to buy me $5,000. And so I'm going to get this $5,000 worth. And then I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch. And in 2 months, my $5,000 is going to go to $7,000. I think, wow, cool. This stuff's growing. You know what I'm going to do, folks? I'm going to take that $2,000 profit that I made. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to buy some gold. I'm going to buy some silver. I'm going to buy some food. I'm going to buy some weapons. I'm going to buy some water. And then I'm going to let the rest of the $5,000 continue to rise. And 2 months later, it goes up another $2,000. And I'm not going to sit back and say, boy, I'm getting rich. I'm going to pull that money out and I'm going to, Steve, am I crazy? And Roger, what was it the question that you asked yesterday or the comment that you made yesterday? Are you there, Roger?
While we're waiting for Roger, I can add some commentary on that kind of strategy. Number one, that definitely makes sense. Number two, on an overall basis, you'd want to make sure that you're not like absent those things to begin with, or selling those things to get into the space to flip it around. Like we want to have, if you had a choice between making sure that your family had food security and water security and physical security and other things versus Litecoin or some other crypto, you would take the former. All of that stuff has to be established before you're making these kind of speculative bets. And even though I think it's a reasoned speculation because of the underlying fundamental value and the change in the overarching system, you know, you still have to be pragmatic about it. But that kind of approach can work. What I would say is if you're going, like, let's use your hypothetical example. If you wanted to, let's say you had $5,000 and it began to appreciate. What you could do is you could wait a little bit longer and then skim off the top to cover the transaction. Like, let's say your five goes to 20. Then you take out five to cover your transaction, and then you begin taking out 20% every time it goes up, and use that as an income stream to rebalance your overarching situation to fix that kind of stuff. And
okay, Steve,
on top of that,
good.
Yeah, one more point to add. There are certain tokens. These aren't cryptocurrencies, but these are tokens that you use to activate a piece of software that a business is going to provide. That if you own them, you can actually rent them out for income. And so if you hold these things, you can actually generate income, not just price appreciation. So it doesn't, there's actual use cases for many of these different companies, and they're coming out with products, you know, now or very soon. You know, we're still in the nascency of this, and the solutions that are being offered are really incredible.
Roger, are you able to get in here yet? I mean, I see your mic is open on the thing, but I'm not hearing you. Because Roger just texted me something the discussion he and I had yesterday, and it goes in line, Stephen, with what you just said, and I would call it preventative prepping. Preventative prepping. Roger, I don't want to steal your thunder because you're the one there. Are you there, Roger? I think I'm hearing you.
I'm there.
Okay, Steve. Okay, Raj, go ahead. Go ahead and say what you said to me yesterday.
Well, I'm fascinated by Bitcoin, but I think I want to encourage everybody, old school stuff out there you want to be sensitive to. Now is the time to get your dental work done. You know, now is the time to have that physical still be covered by insurance that will issues. You've been holding back on the new car that you can pay cash for or a better car. You've got to mix a little bit of the old school in with the new stuff. And so I love the Bitcoin. I've talked to Dylan already about it. Do something, may call Steve for guidance. But those basic day-to-day things, in case there are problems, Bitcoin won't make a difference if your tooth is hurting and there's not a dentist that can take care of it.
Mm.
That's what I was saying.
Or if AutoZone's closed down, you can't get new tires or whatever. Yeah. So Roger's preventative prep is say, look around to those things that need repaired, that if everything were go to hell, you're going to hit yourself on the head and say, daggone, I should have gotten that fixed. And Roger says, dental work. Man, I never even thought about that. Get your teeth done.
Well,
gee, mini grimy. Make sure your car's operational and functional. Do that kind of stuff before you're investing in Bitcoin. Steve, what do you think?
If you don't have a good set of tools, you may not have that good set of tools because you wouldn't know how to use them. But you may have a buddy down the street that can come over and say, boy, I can help you. Here's the tool I need.
Yeah, amen.
Expensive things, but you would have them.
What do you say, Steve?
I mean, the question is, what do you do with your resources and what do you do with your capital? The amount of, you know, the amount of dollars or funds or fiat that you have should be put towards, first and foremost, things that you actually need, physical things that are required, those kind of services, that kind of basic lifestyle maintenance, and making sure that you could sustain that in a period where the system doesn't work exactly as planned because we're on a just-in-time delivery. What we're talking about in terms of cryptocurrencies are investments, and that is always
above
a separate category.
Above and beyond that, that's right.
Yeah. Those are financial investments, which is a separate category than what you would call physical preparation or life investments. So,
okay.
You know, this isn't like some, you know, sell your house or take out a mortgage
and buy
cryptos with it.
Okay, Stephen. So hang on with this. I hate to interrupt. It's just my style, man. That's why my wife sometimes wants to punch me. She says, let people talk. What's my brain's race? Mark Trump, think about this. Everybody out there, I want you to think about this right now. Somebody said, well, coach, this is just the CIA. The CIA is involved. Hey, coach. The mafia, they're behind it. Hey, coach, it's those Khazar Jews, they're behind it. Well, okay. Let's say okay on all that stuff. There is going to be some type of financial system operating in the world. And The question is, is the Holy Spirit going to give us the wisdom to understand how we are to operate in this ungodly system, to use this ungodly system to expand the kingdom of God? We can't be looking for a boogeyman behind every currency. We have to be wise, certainly, but the system is what it is. We are connected to this worldly system. And so I understand. That's why I'm saying don't put your money in there and let it ride. If you do, put your money in there and then pull the money out to use for. Yeah, go ahead, Mark, whoever.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we are all in this moment right now looking at the next moment ahead, and Stephen's bringing some really, really good media information. But if we had to do like I do, if I look at the end and say, if an attacker had to get in this building, how would he do it? And then I go backwards from that. So if we look at this problem from a biblical perspective, this challenge, this thing that we're confronted with, came out of the blue almost over the past few years. If you look at the end of the Bible, we all have to buy using some central mechanism. I mean, that's the way the Bible's laid out in Revelations 13:17. We have to have the mark in order to buy, so there has to be a central currency. So looking at it from that point backwards, there can't be a distributed banking system with capitalism competing for services that a bank offers that doesn't fit. So if you go back one more step, well, there has to be a central currency. Well, how do you do a central currency? Well, we need to enable everyone to have currency. Everyone doesn't even have internet. So, you know, it's going to be focused on the pockets of society that has internet. Then they're going to grow internet with 5G so that we all can use this bartering system. And then you just keep going backwards. But you got to be careful that you don't lay yourself down in Satan's plan versus God's. Where do you make the choice is where I'm saying. Where do you adopt
Here's where I am, Stephen, and I've cut you off. I'll give you some time here. Here's where I am. Is it possible? Remember, it says in the scripture that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. You know it says that, don't you? It says that. So is this ungodly Bitcoin cryptocurrency, let's say it's an ungodly system, is it possible for those of us whose eyes are awake to get in early on this ungodly system and draw funds out of that ungodly system that's going to better prepare us for the time that is ahead? Is now the time to get in, to reap the benefits of this ungodly system, to get ourselves out of debt, our children out of debt, to have preparatory stuff available? I don't know. That's the question I'm asking, Mark. That's the question I'm asking, Steve. I don't want to be a billionaire in Bitcoin. I couldn't care less about that. But at the same time, I don't want to poo-poo it when it might be deliverance for everybody in my family if we wisely see what's going on here. That's my question.
Hey, so remember,
well, and also, Coach, from a pastor's position, also the scripture not only says to the wicked, store up for the righteous, but a wise man stores up an inheritance for his children and his children's children. And once again, it becomes the heart of the matter. The Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. It says that money has that money is evil. It says money has the root of all evil. In other words, like you said, I'm not trying to, you know, let it consume me, but I'm already moved just from after yesterday's show, because it's a diversification of a portfolio of making simple little steps, making baby steps, learning this, because it is a system that's out there. And I believe it's something just like what the internet was when it first hit. If you jumped in and you invested in it, you did very well. And there's been things that we have invested in that have paid off tremendously, not from an evil point of view, but to pay off my kids' colleges and so forth.
What, Dale, if we're sitting in a situation right now that I'm wise with my investments, so you're wise with your investments, 18 months from now, 2 years from now, you will have accumulated enough wealth to get all of your children out of debt. Would that be something? Would that be something a patriarch would do? Would that be an inheritance that a wise man would leave to his children's children? And I guess the question asking is this:
I think it's simple wisdom. Everything that we do on an everyday basis has worldly connection to begin with. It's how we examine it and how we do it with our heart, and that our heart stays pure and true before the Lord. You know, Lot was a rich man. He was a businessman and he was prudent. So I believe that, you know, the scriptures do apply as long as it doesn't consume us. And I believe, you know, I mean, I'm already looking at it. And once again, then when it comes down to it, 18 months from now, not only that, and okay, then it's once again, I say buying land. God's not making any more of it. You know, a place to be able to grow crops and have animals on.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, no, I want to get my kids free. I want my children to be free. I'm the patriarch of the family. That's the greatest wisdom I could do. Take the yoke of bondage of debt off of my children. That's what I see it. See?
Yeah, remember a couple of days ago, Coach brought up the part of the Bible where Jesus is talking, I believe, to his disciples, and he says there was a certain rich man that called his servant to account. And said, you know, your job's ending in 2 weeks, you're fired or whatever. And that servant went and told all the people that owed his master money, hey, take it and change the amount of stuff you owe my master, so that when he lost his job, he'd have friends to go to out there. And then he told disciples that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. You know, that's exactly what Coach is saying right now. He says, if the children of the world know how to use circumstances to advance their own situation, says, why don't you guys have enough smarts to use the stupid world process to advance the kingdom?
Yeah, that's my question, Larry. Go ahead, Steve. You haven't been in here for a while, bud.
Sure. So I have a few different notes taken down based on the commentary here and what's going on in the chat. First of all, whenever you're making any decision, it needs to be an item of prayer and seeking God and the Holy Spirit. If you don't have peace from the Holy Spirit and you don't have direction and guidance, then it's not going to work out, and it's going to be a source of inner conflict that you're not going to be able to get over. And so, you know, you need to do your research, do your homework, and seek the face of the Lord. To answer a very specific question that Ray had about, you know, if the price goes up, are people going to get put out of the market? The answer to that is no, because cryptocurrencies are a different asset class than, like, equities and stocks. You can buy fractions of a cryptocurrency out to 8, 9, 10, 18 decimal points. That's one of the key features.
You don't have to buy an entire dollar, whatever.
You don't have to buy an entire Bitcoin. You could buy 1/1,000,000,000th of one Bitcoin.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
Okay, so that is part of the aspect of the system that allows, you know, people working with even small amounts of capital to participate in it. That's why it functions as a proper medium of exchange, because it's more divisible in a broader way. So that's an important thing to look at. If we're looking at the space in general, number one, for the decentralized, open source, blockchain crypto solutions, there aren't backdoors, because the code is visible. Everyone can see it, and the smartest computer guys in the world and the smartest programmers are looking at it, trying to test it, and some of the smartest programmers and computer guys in the world are hackers, and they're trying to extract the value from it. So the system is very anti-fragile. It gets attacked, and then it gets fixed, and it resists that. And so if there was a backdoor in it, someone would know by now, because this isn't like Microsoft Windows with 300 million lines of code. This is a relatively simple piece of software, and it's based on the secure hashing algorithm 256, SHA-256. And
so, if they stole your code, they could get into your own personal stuff. That's
important. if they took your key, they could get into your safe. If they took your key, they could get into your wallet. So they're really it's incredibly important. I can't overestimate the need to do proper security protocols and all of that. If you have a question about the best way to do it, I can tell you what I've done, and their standards even more secure than what I've done, but they're much more technologically sophisticated. A couple other things before we wind down here. The key difference is whether things are centralized or decentralized. The central banks and all these institutions are going to use blockchain, but it's going to be a centralized blockchain. And that could be the potential architecture for a quote-unquote world currency, but they would have to enforce it with power. And if nobody trusts them, then it would have to be physical force that compels it. And that's not the way I see the space going, because trust in institutions, I think, is going to go way down. Even further than it has mm-hmm. now. Another point is that ultimately the best form of money is the barter system. But if it's just bartering physical goods, it's less efficient because you can't get what you want. The blockchain and cryptocurrency infrastructure allows us to operate at the barter level, person to person, but universally, wow. across the entire globe, which is an incredible kind of development. And ultimately, frankly, Coach, if all of this goes in a different direction and then somebody appears on the scene that says, all right, you better have this and you better be worshiping this image of the beast or else you're out, I'm going to tear up my paper wallets and tell them to go to hell. And that's what I said after the show last time. That's right. What it comes down to. What's the most important?
That's why I think it's important, folks. Listen, if you get into this and you're making profits, extract it from the system and get tangible stuff that you're going to need were everything to go down. To me, it's not about wealth building. It's about getting out of bondage. That's what I see, Steve. And if you go into it with the wrong heart, greed, you want to get rich. And, well, brothers, that's the wrong attitude. But if you can see it as the wealth of the wicked's rolling in there and you have an opportunity to extract some of that wealth for the good, that's what I think we need to be sensitive to. Yeah, Jared.
Well, a definition to assist in this, a definition of wealth that I've read once, it's not how much money you have, it's how long can you live. That's what wealth is. How long can you live?
Mm. Well, that was, Jared, one of the things. Life is the greatest commodity. That's what I just read. Life, in the end, life is the greatest commodity. So when you think about life being the greatest commodity, then as you make your investments, part of that is, well, okay, how am I going to maintain life? How am I going to maintain it? Well, that's food, water, weapons, whatever. Ultimately, that's the stuff that's going to matter, not a bunch of money in an account somewhere. Winding down here, Steve.
Yeah, ultimately, you have to bring this back to God and to the Holy Spirit and to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, don't follow what I say. Follow what he says. Follow where he leads you. And if you don't like this stuff or you don't want to get involved, then don't. That's everyone's free decision and choice. I think there are incredible opportunities here to provide, to build generational wealth and many other things. If I do a podcast and we talk about this frequently. If you want to email me and ask questions about more specifics, and people have done that already, which is awesome. I love fielding those questions. Just email me at amateursociety@gmail.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me, and we can get in touch. And Coach, if you want me to sit down.
Listen, Steve, yeah, you're going to get a lot of emails, Steve. So if you email me, I'll connect you with Steven. Listen, you better realize this, that in every financial system, there are winners and there are losers. I don't care who you are. If you got a dollar and you're involved in it and you're borrowing from the bank's winning. You think you're winning, but you're not. The servant the borrower is servant to the lender. We all know that, right? So listen, in this new financial switch is taking place, are you going to be a winner or are you going to be a loser? In my mind, brothers, that is the whole thing. This switch is coming. There is going to be billions and billions of dollars that are going to flow into this new system, and it will maybe crash at some point. That's why get into the system, get the money that you can, get the money out, and then use it for tangible things that are going to enable you and your family to live, to stay alive. That's the greatest commodity. Stephen, I can't tell you, man. The enlightenment that you and I believe the Holy Spirit has given me over the last couple of days as we've been discussing this kind of stuff, folks. And I think that this is an absolute once in a, even more than a generation, once in a forever transfer of wealth that is going to occur. And the question we have to ask ourselves, are you going to be a winner or are you going to be a loser? And a lot of it's going to have to do with your heart. Is your desire just to get rich, or is your desire to get free and to live life freely? That's the question that's in my heart. Man, I wish we had another hour. We'll maybe pick up some more of it on first week. If you want to get a hold of Steve, send me an email. I'll connect you with Steve. Steve, you're going to get some phone calls for sure. My phone's been popping even during the show here. So God bless you. Hey, guys, have a great weekend. Man, what a time to be alive. And let's just sit back and trust that the Lord knows what he's doing, which we know that he does, and just ask that the Holy Spirit would just continue to guide us to all truth. Steve, thanks for the time today. Mark, everybody, great show, man. Great show. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.